punishment. Sometimes people get in trouble. Sometimes it's because they were in the wrong place at the wrong time, whatever that means. Sometimes it's because of making mistakes. Sometimes it's because of saying the right thing to the wrong people. All too often, it's because people in places of power have stacked the deck to make things better for them at the expense of people who aren't in positions of power. And all too often, people in positions of power want to punish the ones who are now in trouble, saying things like, throw the thugs in jail, build a wall to keep those criminals out, drug test all the poor people so they don't steal my food stamps, stop paying your bills, and then demonize people who now can't pay their bills because of it. Or attempt to marginalize the voices of those who call for equality and justice with the politics of fear and the politics of the other. Punish, 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 never forgive. The people listening to Jesus in the lost things parables from Luke 15, they may have had a sense of entitlement or a sense of who was in and who was out and about what God would do for them. And as usual, Jesus had something to say on the matter that turned things in a different direction. There are actually three lost things parables. We only read one of them today, but let me tell you about the other two. These are the parables that Jesus told in reaction to the Pharisees grumbling about the people that Jesus was welcoming. First one is the parable of the lost sheep, where Jesus talks about a shepherd leaving 99 sheep to go and rescue one. And that doesn't make sense in terms of raising animals. It does, however, make sense when it comes to the nature of God's extravagant welcome. Because God's neighborhood isn't about smart farming. The celebration of finding one lost sheep is like the celebration of one who was lost now being found. And that is a beautiful celebration. And then the second parable is the one of the lost coin, where a woman with 10 silver coins scours the house to find the one that she's lost. And that one doesn't make sense when it comes to the most efficient use of our time. Why spend the day looking for something that's worth only an hour's worth of time? Remember, God's neighborhood, it's not about smart farming. It's also not about efficiency. And today we have the third parable. Pretty well-worn one, the prodigal son, the lost son. In it we've got two sons who feel a sense of entitlement. One feels entitled to his inheritance early so that he can go out and enjoy it. And the other feels a sense of entitlement and jealousy when the son who took the inheritance early came back and was welcomed with open arms. He didn't want his father's reckless son getting any of what was rightfully his. So you've probably heard this parable before, the parable of the prodigal son. And people have different reactions to it. I've been thinking about it, and I've been thinking about this one for a long time, and here's some things that I've come up with. The son who took the inheritance early made a mistake. When he came back and was welcomed with grace and mercy, he got that even though he didn't deserve it. Then there's the son who, with his father, acted really, really rude and disrespectful, because he said to his father, I'm not going to greet my brother. The father reminded him that he had lost nothing and to come and to celebrate. The father didn't shun the son for treating him so harshly. According to the custom of the time, that's what he should have done. The father showed him love and caring, even though he didn't deserve it. The father showed compassion to the son who went away and then returned. He also showed compassion to the son who stayed, shouting, are you kidding me? That's not fair at all. In both cases, the father showed compassion and love, even though neither of the sons in the context deserved it. Jesus, in this parable, he was teaching that God's mercy, God's love, God's compassion, they are not limited. He was continuing to teach that God's love, God's unconditional love, isn't something that anyone deserves. No one's entitled to it. He was teaching that mercy and love from God are for everyone, even though no one's entitled to him. God's unconditional love, truly, it doesn't make sense. We may have it, and we may say, oh, that's so beautiful, but if we take it to the degree that it exists, it doesn't make sense. Sometimes it'll even seem contrary to all our instincts. God's unconditional love and mercy can be very comforting, can also be unnerving and angering. Because God's unconditional love and mercy, it's for babies, children, youth, young adults, middle-aged people, adults, seniors, everyone. We hear that and think, of course it is. It's for those who have lost their way and returned. We hear that and we think about the parable and we feel good. It's for rich people, poor people, barely scraping by people. We hear that and we might think, what about all the people who abuse the system? It's for those who get angry about handouts and undeserved benefits. We hear that and maybe we feel a little uneasy. It's for Republicans, Democrats, libertarians, socialists, independents, Greens, political activists, political apathists. We hear that and hope that they vote with us. After all, we vote as Jesus would, right? Every single one of us, just like that. It's for every undocumented person living in the United States. We hear that and might feel a sense of angry entitlement. It's for people with disabilities, people with mental health problems, people with and without access to help. We hear that, and maybe we'll think about the journey that we're on to become a wise, welcoming, inclusive, supportive, and engaged congregation for mental health. It's for people of all sexual orientations, gender identities, gender expressions. We hear that, and some people wish we'd never even talked about it. It's for every soldier, every worker, or anyone who lives or works in parts of our world devastated by war. We hear that and we pray for protection of our own. It's for every person who, under the shroud of religion, attacks and kills other people. We hear that and a fire brews in our chest, angry with any who would take innocent life while saying that their cause is holy. God's unconditional love and mercy is for everyone. And what can we do with that, with all the emotions that it stirs up? How can any of us really show God's extravagant welcome and unconditional love to others when so many things have us feeling angry and entitled and screaming, are you kidding me? Inside. This week, when you pray, I don't know how many of you pray every day. Let's try this. Whether you pray every day or don't pray every day, this week, let's all pray. And let's try something. Instead of praying for everyone that we love and care for, that's easy, right? Let's follow something else that Jesus said. He said this in Matthew 5:44. But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. Just that. Let's try this. Ignore our loved ones in prayer in favor of praying for our enemies. I know it's really easy to do the opposite, but let's do that. I don't know if I can do it, but I think that the parables that we heard about today teach us that God can and will take care of all. So when we pray for our enemies only and not everyone else, God is not shunning the people that we're not praying for. It's an exercise for us. It's an exercise for us about God's unconditional love, about God's extravagant welcome. The parables show people ignoring conventional wisdom in order to seek what is lost. And I think that when we spend our time loving our enemies and praying for our persecutors, we'll understand more of what these parables are teaching. Because God's mercy is not limited. God's unconditional love and extravagant welcome isn't something that anyone deserves. Yet, God still gives it to everyone, no matter who you are. Yes, amen. No matter who you are or where you are on life's journey, that's the way God is. Even if we're thinking to ourselves, are you kidding? No, I'm not kidding. That's the way God is, even if it seems totally not fair. Amen.